from KQED.
Hey, everybody. It's Devin Katayama. Welcome back to the Bay. It feels really good to be talking to y'all again. So we had planned this episode to be about what happened in Gilroy. And then over the weekend, people in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio, were attacked. And we knew that we couldn't do this episode without first saying that our hearts go out to the victims who were killed and injured, and also the communities that have experienced these senseless acts of gun violence, of domestic terrorism, and racism. As our national colleagues in the news media fan out to cover these shootings that seem to be happening way too often, we wanted to look back at how Gilroy experienced the media attention after the shooting at the Garlic Festival that killed three people and injured more than a dozen others. So today, we're taking a trip to Gilroy. I'm Devin Katayama. Welcome to the Bay. Well, thank you so much. Actually, can I have you read just a part of this?
Sure.
It's your post.
If you think you can excerpt things out of it, I'd be happy to. It's not that long.
Okay, great. Robert Ellison is a photographer for SV Media, which owns a few newspapers, including the Gilroy Dispatch. I wanted to talk to him because he wrote a post on Facebook that went viral about how the media was covering the aftermath of the shooting. I had him read a little bit of it.
I was wearing my press badge and people came over to me. I did not ask any questions. A real reporter would have, certainly, but the scene was too intense and even standing there seemed invasive.
On the day of the shooting, Robert's editors sent him to the St. Louis Hospital in Gilroy, where some of the victims were being treated.
The scene at the hospital was really tranquil. I mean, it was difficult to deal with. I sat in the car for quite a while before processing what I was seeing before I got out of the car. There were people on benches. There were people just pacing around. And so I, in passing by a few of them, I offered my condolences. And one of the first people that I met were a group of three ministers that had left and had told me about the six-year-old boy that had died and that they were just heartbroken about that. But I didn't really question anybody. I didn't think that was my role.
Robert says he didn't ask people questions because it felt like an invasion of their privacy for people who are basically going through the worst moments of their lives. And as a reporter, I've been there. It is an incredibly uncomfortable position to be in as a journalist. You don't want to intrude. Emotions are so high, yet you got to get information about what happened. A little bit later, Robert ended up going to Gavilan College, which was acting as a reunification center where people could meet up with family.
The whole place was glowing with camera setups and artificial light. They had reporters and news cameras set up interviewing the people that were there. As I was standing there, I could hear this one woman saying, "I don't want to answer any more questions. I don't want to answer any more questions. I want to take a break." And I could hear the media people saying, "Well, you know, just answer a few more questions and then we can break." And they weren't letting up on her. And that really bothered me.
After this first night, Robert wrote the Facebook post that got shared widely. He wrote, quote, "Everything was surreal. I'm press, but I'm not really press. I'm the guy who goes out to high school football games and Little League, to fun runs and carnivals. I shoot portraits of colorful characters and local business people. You see me at dog shows and rodeos. The Garlic Festival, shot it 6 times so far." I'm not surprised Robert's upset. He knows the other journalists who've come to Gilroy won't be here long enough to see how the city and its people recover, which is why he was really upset about what he saw the next day, when the city held a vigil on the lawn at City Hall, and there were all these news cameras and reporters, and in the front row of the crowd was this kid sitting on the grass with his dad.
I noticed there were three photographers taking pictures of that kid at point-blank range, and for the entire time, he was the focus of photographers. Yeah. It's not really a fair experience for a child like that who may not even understand what's going on. At some point, the kid got up and walked away from them. And so I went over to him and I asked him if he was okay, and he said he was okay. And then he smiled at me and he held his candle up, and I said, "Do you want me to take your picture?" And he nodded his head, so I took his picture. It was an absolute snapshot. I did it only because he seemed like he wanted to be photographed by me. And I didn't submit it to the publisher. I wouldn't have considered submitting it to the publisher.
Robert wonders what the impact is on people and even the truth when there are that many cameras on one person grieving, especially when it's a young person. He does think that there are ways that photographers and reporters could be less invasive. They could stand further back. They could use longer lenses. Part of the problem is that shootings and violent assaults like these are happening in more places, and this includes small cities and towns. And when national and regional media teams arrive, it can feel like they outnumber the people who live there. Although it's important to document these terrible things when they happen, some, like Robert, wonder if there is a better way. The Columbia Journalism Review listed a few ways that media could reduce its footprint on small towns during traumatic times. They recommend pooling reporters, cooperating with local media, and ethics and sensitivity training for the journalists that are on the ground. And I feel like this is especially important in smaller cities like Gilroy, which aren't used to the national spotlight.
I mean, Gilroy is not a huge town.
The surrounding communities are also pretty tight. We have Aromas, which is San Juan Bautista, which is about 10 miles away in one direction. We've got Morgan Hill, which is about 15 miles away in the other direction. We've got Hollister, which is below San Juan Bautista. And all of these people know each other. You know, they all go to each other's sports events. And certainly the garlic event is that kind of event where you have people from all over the community volunteering to be there. Money raised goes to all kinds of things like scholarships and to sports programs and things like that. So the place is ultimately staffed by students.
Yeah, I noticed that. When I was there on Sunday, everybody who was waving me in and telling me where to go, they were all younger kids.
Absolutely.
And that's actually one of the things that I wanted to talk about, super young victims and all victims of color, like young people of color, which is representative of Gilroy.
I was going to say that it's sad to say that there was a diversity in the people who were shot, but it's absolutely true because it is that kind of area. There's a very large section of the area that it's very poor. There's a lot of migrant workers. There's a large group of community people who don't really have a lot of money to share, but you always see them sharing. You always see them doing something. If they're not donating money, they're donating food, or they're donating their services, or they're donating their time. There's a lot of people volunteering for a lot of things here. It's a much stronger community than anything else I've seen. I've lived in Concord for many, many, many years. I was born there and lived there. I lived in Berkeley for about 15 years. I've never seen a sense of community and family as strong as I have in this area.
I wanted to see what Robert was describing, so I drove around Gilroy until I ended up downtown on Monterey Road.
So we're near downtown Gilroy, and I'm about to grab something to eat, and I can already tell there's a handful of people down here who have these black shirts on that say hashtag Gilroy Strong. Excuse me, can I ask you some questions about your shirt? Where'd you get the shirt?
Oh, my friend gave it to me.
Yeah.
Come in 15 minutes.
15 minutes?
Yeah, so you can run here and come inside.
Okay, great.
We're going to come in down here in 15 minutes.
I'll grab something to eat, too.
Okay.
I follow a man inside a restaurant called Station 55, and I grab something to eat while I wait for his friend who gave him the shirt. A few minutes later, this guy asked me to follow him outside, where I meet Jose Montes, who's the VP for the Downtown Business Association.
What do you think makes Gilroy so strong? Because I've heard that from other people.
It's just a very tight community overall. It's just the people in general. This is one of, in fact, Gilroy is being known to be one of those few communities that embraces families, culture. I've been in Gilroy for about 39 years now. If you stay in Gilroy for a year or two, you will be surprised that wherever you go, you'll be recognized by your name, who you are. And it's very, it feels good to live in a community like this, not like San Francisco, San Jose, many other communities. It's just another number.
Yeah, it's different. I was thinking about how big the Bay Area is, and the geography and the people and the culture around the Bay is so different everywhere you go.
Correct. We are a very diverse city, although the you know, we have a large population of Hispanic, but lately in the last 10, 15 years, we've been more diverse. And it seems like that diversity is just getting stronger in terms of connecting one another.
And is that because, you know, the housing crisis is pushing people all over, so you're seeing more and more people moving here?
Obviously, I think that is one factor. If you on the Silicon Valley, and I've been saying this for many years, there's only one way out, the way in which you can still find properties affordable, and this is South County. And Gilroy is still one of those few communities that is still available for those people who is looking for affordable housing.
And how do you spell your names?
Montes, M-O-N-T-E-S.
And last name?
M-O-N-T-E-S.
What's your first name?
Jose.
Okay. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Really appreciate it.
Jose Montes tells me the Downtown Business Association is hosting a vigil the night I'm there last Thursday. People are setting up. The streets are being blocked off. There's a man handing out homemade Gilroy buttons. We chat a bit about how he was born and raised here and has never missed a garlic festival. But as I'm walking around with my microphone, I wondered what people were thinking about me being there. Was I just another reporter coming in from out of town? I decided not to stay for the vigil. There's going to be a lot of coming together in Gilroy in the surrounding area. And honestly, I'm not going to be there for those moments as the city tries to recover. So tonight is going to be theirs. So I said goodnight to Gilroy and good luck. I'm Devin Kadiyama. That's it for The Bay. Talk to you Wednesday.